I'm Lina Khmudu. Welcome to Health Chat. The World Health Organization Regional Office for Africa has warned of a rampant spread of more contagious COVID variants as the third wave of COVID-19 infections sweeps across Africa. Observers say the third wave promises to be much more difficult than the previous ones on the continent and warn that vaccination levels are low. Countries in Africa have received the AstraZeneca vaccines made in India, Covishield, but the European Union Medical Regulatory Body says it will not accept the India-made AstraZeneca as part of its vaccine passport. The move has raised concerns as well as criticisms. I spoke with Dr. Fiona Braca, Emergency Operations Manager with the WHO Africa region. Take a listen.
Dr. Fiona Braca, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
How do you assess this third wave of the COVID-19 pandemic that is currently sweeping through Africa?
Africa is experiencing a third wave, and we have seen for the sixth consecutive week an increase in the number of new cases. The time it's taking to double the number of cases has reduced. If we compare where we were in the second wave, it took us 4 weeks to double the number of new cases. But in this third wave, we are seeing the doubling time at 3 weeks. So we are in a period of resurgence of cases. This is for different reasons. One is the Delta variant that is circulating currently. Globally, 96 countries have this variant circulating, and in Africa, 16 countries have reported the Delta variant. The second reason is the social contact through movement of people, increasing the risk of exposure of people to the virus. And the third relates to the inadequate implementation of the public health and social measures. We know that we have proven tools to prevent the spread of the virus, but because of inappropriate use of these preventive tools, we have increased exposure going on. And the fourth reason is to do with the inequitable use of the vaccine. In Africa, we know that we have not received the required doses that we had anticipated. There is a global shortage of vaccine. So that also is contributing this wave that we are seeing currently in Africa.
How are these issues being tackled?
Well, we have the tools to prevent the spread of the virus. And it's important that there is heightened awareness that we are in a resurgence. We are in a third wave in the region, and that we need to use the tools that we have to prevent the further spread of the virus. It boils down to the leadership of the different countries driving that message to the population, right up to the community and household levels, that there is a risk and that we have to be on high alert, and we have to gauge our risk and protect ourselves, not only from getting infected, but once we are infected, from spreading to others. As WHO, trying to support the countries to be prepared for the resurgence, we have about 36 countries where we have observed that the number of cases has either plateaued or it's on a decrease. In such countries, we need to have preparedness well established because we have several countries where we have the resurgence actually going on. So preparedness is key in those that we do not see the increase. And it includes heightened surveillance. It includes preparedness for critical care, because with the Delta variant, we have high transmissibility. The risk of contracting it is high once it is there in the communities. And we've also seen evidence that there is prolonged and more severe disease with this variant. So that means that our health systems have to be ready to cope for treatment of severe patients. So working with the countries to build their capacities for treatment and for case management is important. The use of oxygen in severe cases, so ensuring that countries are well positioned with the necessary supplies of oxygen, medical oxygen, for management of severe cases is important. So it boils down to the information management, the management of risks at the individual level using the public health and social measures that we have been talking about. And it also boils down to capacities to manage severe cases at clinical care level. So all this is extremely important for the countries to position themselves.
When it comes to the tools that you mentioned, one very important tool, it has been the vaccines. And Africa has had its challenges, but the continent is still below 2% when it comes to vaccination rate. So that's one of the challenges. The other challenge is the fact that there is a high rate of vaccine hesitancy among the population. So how do we reconcile both?
WHO has pre-qualified eight vaccines to date, and we have great initiatives such as the COVAX initiative that was really set up to support the low and middle income countries to access these vaccines. To date, we've had over 3 billion doses administered globally, but only 2.1% of these doses have been administered in Africa, which is a gross inadequacy in terms of need. To date, 15 million Africans have been fully vaccinated, which represents just 1.2% of the African population. So you can see the gross inequity in terms of distribution of vaccines to the African continent. We have seen that over 70% of the doses that have been given to the continent have actually been administered. The bulk of the vaccine has been accepted. Yes, we do have issues around vaccine hesitancy in some places, but the bulk of the vaccines have been administered. And I think that vaccine supply is more of the issue when it comes to the African context. And if we are really going to achieve the targets that WHO has called on member states to achieve, which is 10% of their population vaccinated by end of September, and an additional 30% of their population vaccinated by end of 2021, we are going to need 1 billion doses in Africa to reach that target, which is quite a significant amount that we need to ramp up for Africa. When it comes to vaccine acceptance and or vaccine hesitancy, we need to understand the reasons, the concerns that people have behind the vaccines. Many of them fear the side effects. Many would like to wait and see how this evolves with people they know receiving the vaccine. So these are issues that need to be addressed at the local level and devising tailored, targeted strategies to address these concerns. But on the broad scheme of things, vaccines, once available, ensuring that the supply of vaccine is there, ensuring that there are mechanisms to reach the populations that need the vaccines. These are the bigger issues that we deal with in ensuring that vaccines are actually getting to the people that need them.
So the European Union recently announced that the AstraZeneca vaccine made in India, which is called Covishield, will not be accepted as part of it, of the vaccine passport in Europe. But there are a few countries, such as Iceland, that have said that they will accept it. However, when we look at the big picture, the fact that a lot of people have received that vaccine on the continent through the COVAX initiative, and now it's not being recognized, at least so far, for the European vaccine passport, what is your reaction and how is the WHO addressing this?
So AstraZeneca is among the vaccines that have gone through the WHO review and accepted for use. And based on that, the COVAX facility did go ahead to procure these vaccines. And indeed, most of the countries in the African region have benefited from this facility, 45 countries benefiting from use of this vaccine. So because of the rigorous process that we go through at WHO to ensure the safety of these vaccines through our collaboration with scientists, with vaccine stakeholders, we are pretty confident about the safety of the vaccine and the effectiveness of these vaccines in addressing severe disease and preventing death. So as a vaccine, it is recommended. We need to work at the global level to ensure that there is acceptance of this tool that is in place to prevent severe disease and death, and that people can be allowed the opportunity to use the vaccine and not have the fear of not being able to travel to a given region or another because of lack of a vaccine. And I think that's where we have to work collectively around the world to realize that effort.
The question also is, what does this mean, though, for the people who have already received AstraZeneca made in India if they want to go to Europe?
I think that there's going to have to be some strong engagement from the countries that have benefited from this vaccine at the political level, at the global level, to ensure that this decision is looked at critically and the implications it has for several people that have received it around the world.
And finally, Dr. Fiona, we talk about vaccines, and these vaccines are made outside of Africa. What is being done on the continent to ensure that African scientists, science on the continent, is also part of this big picture, whether it's about developing COVID-specific vaccine or vaccines in general? Because it seems like Africa is not part of this dialogue.
Globally, there is a shortage of vaccines that we need, and on the continent, we are faced with that, the shortage of vaccines for Africans. There needs to be definitely increased opportunities for us to make this vaccine available through local initiatives for production. We're pleased to note that the president of South Africa and the WHO Director General recently launched an initiative to set up a technology transfer hub, the first globally, that will be based in South Africa, that will allow the vaccine stakeholders, global stakeholders, the local stakeholders to come together and provide capacity building and technology transfer to start the production of COVID-19 vaccines on the continent. So this is an exciting initiative, a public-private initiative that is coming on board. Secondly, we at the recent World Health Assembly in May, over 100 countries did sign up an initiative to scale up vaccine production in the world. 54 of these countries were from the African continent, led by Ethiopia. And so we are quite optimistic that these initiatives will help to galvanize the support locally using both public and private partnerships and government initiatives to scale up production in the African region. But we must remember that some of these measures are really looked at for the medium term. It does take some time to set these systems up in place. We have to start now, but in the meantime, we have to also use the tools that are available at our hand to prevent infection from spreading from one person to another through the recommended public health and social measures, and also pushing more on the vaccine equity initiatives to get more doses onto the African continent.
Dr. Fiona Mbaga, thank you so much for joining us today. We appreciate your time.
Thank you.
That was Dr. Fiona Braka, Emergency Operations Manager with the WHO Africa region. It is time for a short break. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Health Chat. We continue to look at the COVID-19 pandemic. Next, I spoke with public health expert Dr. Mary Mbaga. Among other things, she discusses the third wave of the pandemic on the continent and the impact of the Delta variant.
Dr. Mary Mbaga, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Some African countries right now are dealing with a third wave of COVID-19 outbreak, which is driven by a Delta variant that was first identified in India. Now it has spread around the world. How do you assess the current situation with this outbreak?
The assessment is quite simple. I would say this was known. It's not a surprise for us, public health specialists, for three main reasons. The first one being that the way the virus is behaving, we all know that that virus is mutating, right? So we're going to have new variants. And as you said, that variant has been around for quite a while now, starting, at the beginning of this year in India. So having that variant today in Africa or America or even in the EU, it's something that we knew, okay? The second thing is the fact that in several African countries, social distancing hasn't been quiet or effective, or people are not compliant to it, and just people living their life normally is also something that is fostering new contaminations between amongst people. So we knew that those measures they slowed down a little bit on measures, and contaminations will happen. We knew that as well. And the third thing is vaccination. African is not, getting vaccinated. Only less than 1% of the population is fully vaccinated in Africa. It's something also that prevents African population for being immunized, right? We know that the three things combined together, somehow, if there is a new variant which is more virulent, it's going to hit and hit very hard. We knew that.
Is the bigger issue the availability of vaccines or getting people to be vaccinated when we look at the challenges of vaccination on the continent?
The challenge is both. So we don't want vaccines to be available and people not taking them, or we know one people wanted to get vaccinated and not having enough vaccines. So this is the place maybe to recognize that the World Health Organization, and along with the international community, they have been doing a great job making sure that the disparities in vaccines availability is quite reduced, and they are doing a great job with the COVAX initiative to get the vaccines there. So that's one thing. They should be doing that. And we have some numbers here. We have 18 countries that have used the supply to give them 80% of the supplies, with 8 countries without the supply right now, and also other like 26 countries, which has used 50% of their vaccines. But at the same time, as you said, we have countries like Congo that few weeks ago had to give the vaccines to Ghana because of they were getting close to expired. So I think why the international community need to keep the effort to get the vaccines in Africa, but also local government in Africa need to work on the issue of vaccine hesitancy, because it's a really big deal over there. People just think, as I used to say, that the disease itself was perceived as being a disease of others, right? The vaccines is also perceived as not being the business of Africans because of the disease not being their business as well. So local government needs to work around that by having clear communications with their people, emphasizing the advantages of vaccines, and also saying that we are in a small world now. If someone is still having COVID-19 maybe in some places in the world, we cannot sleep well, we need everyone to get vaccinated so that the world keep being normal. So to summarize myself, why the vaccine supply needs to, the access to vaccine, we need to keep that effort, but at the same time, you're right, people are very hesitant, and that's the job of local government to reassure their people and say that this is not a vast, it's a vast campaign of making the world safe.
You mentioned COVAX. It has been put in place by WHO and partners to reduce the gap of vaccine access between rich and low and middle income countries. One of the vaccines that was offered through COVAX, if not the only one so far, is the AstraZeneca vaccine, which has been produced in India by the Serum Institute of India, called Covishield. Recently, the European Medicines Agency said that it does not approve AstraZeneca vaccine made in India as part of the vaccine passport in Europe. This is a big blow for a lot of people who have already been vaccinated with AstraZeneca, which has been done on the continent. So what does this mean in the future for these people who receive vaccine already? And even when we look at the COVAX initiative itself,
my reaction is a little bit in a high level of the global health coordination. It doesn't look good at all, and it's not helping us as public health specialists who want to convince people that in Africa that the vaccine is the best way to prevent COVID-19. Why is not looking good? The fact that the World Health Organization has its mechanism of assessing the vaccine, the whole the procedures around the vaccine production, and they have cleared that vaccine since last February, and today the EU is doing the same process, is not a good sign for us, because we're trying to convince people that we don't have double standards. The vaccine is the same. It's not a conspiracy against Africans. But the fact that those two institutions are just not speaking the same language is not helping. So I think the EU eventually will, if they have not done it, eventually they will clear that vaccine, because the WHO did, and they did their due diligence before clearing this vaccine. So the EU will go and do the same thing and approve it as well. No risk. I don't think there is a risk in that. But as I said before, the message they are sending, and maybe this is the time to say to those institutions, the World Health Organization, the EU, the CDC, and also the Chinese institutions around this COVID vaccination production and delivery, that the need for the people who don't understand these complexities, they need to speak the same language. That would help us go out there and convince the people that there is no conspiracy around this vaccine. If there is no double standards for Africans and for Europeans or Americans, that's the same thing.
Does it mean, though, that people will have to get vaccinated all over again? What do you know about the safety and effectiveness of mixing vaccines?
No, people will not need to get vaccinated again. The vaccine they received, the COVID shield, is the vaccine, as is that vaccine is effective. But as I said before, the World Health Organization and the EU and the CDC and even the Chinese government, they need to speak the same language to reassure us, the governments, because it's quite disturbing to have those situations where the World Health Organization is clearing a vaccine while the EU is still in the process of doing so. We're having a lot of questions. What is happening? Is the EU not trusting the World Health Organizations? And why the EU is paying for WHO workers to do a job and paying again for other people to do the same job? What is happening? But as far as we know, these vaccines are legit, and they are working, they are effective as much as the one we have here. It's just a matter of the market where the vaccine is going and where it's produced. But there is nothing to worry about as far as the effectiveness is concerned.
Dr. Miriam Baga, thank you so much. We appreciate your time.
Thank you so much for having me.
That was public health expert Dr. Mary Mbaga. Now to Malawi, where the country has reintroduced strict COVID-19 measures aimed at curbing surging cases. This, as the government announced that the country has entered the third wave of the pandemic. Namek Masina reports from Blantyre.
The Presidential Task Force on COVID-19 says the decision comes in response to a recent sharp rise of 3,000 new cases in June that has resulted in 60 deaths. Khumbise Kandodo-Chiponda is the co-chairperson of the Presidential Task Force.
Just of yesterday, the last 24 hours, we did 1,584 tests. Of those, we had 309 new cases. We had 20 admissions in the last 24 hours. Unfortunately, we had 3 deaths. Our data indicates that we're experiencing a resurgence of COVID-19 in our country, and this indicates that we are in the third wave of the pandemic.
The restrictions include a ban on political rallies and on sports fans' access to stadiums, a limit on gatherings of not more than 50 people, and a curfew from 10 p.m. to 6 a.m. Schools will remain open, but those who test positive have to be separated from health students and will not attend classes for 14 days in order to assess the situation. Kandodo also says funeral gatherings have been restricted to 10 people.
We discourage vigils when it comes to funeral, because we have noted that one of the super spreaders of COVID-19, it is the funerals. Most people that have gotten COVID-19 when they had gone to attend a funeral. It is not necessary from the dead body, no, but because of the people who gather together to mourn our beloved one.
The measures come at a time when Malawi faces shortages of COVID-19 vaccines. Statistics show that Malawi has only vaccinated about 400,000 people. The figure represents about 1% of the total vaccinations it needs to reach the herd immunity of 60%. But Kandodo says that the country is expected to receive about 200,000 AstraZeneca vaccines and a COVAX vaccine sharing facility in the next 2 weeks. Health rights campaigners have welcomed the restrictions, but fear the siege will continue unless the government introduces measures to enforce the restrictions. Maziko Matemba is the executive director for Health and Rights Education Program.
This was expected, that we will have these new regulations. This is coming at the background as well, where we have a benchmark of 5% positivity rate. But I think the onus is on the public to adhere to these measures.
The government says it has deployed military to help enforce those measures. Lamik Masina for VOA News, Blantyre.
Zimbabwe's COVID-19 vaccine rollout is picking up steam, with 2 million doses arriving from China yesterday. More is on the way as the government tries to foster herd immunity to fend off a fast-growing third wave of the coronavirus. Reporter Kudziza Yezivina Fashe has more details.
Finance Minister Mthuli Ncube briefed the media upon receiving the vaccines at the airport.
We were receiving 2 million doses, as we had promised last week. So they are here. We can now really go full throttle in terms of the blitz vaccination program that is being rolled out by the government through the Minister of Health.
Dr. John Mangwiro is the Deputy Minister of Health. He says interest in the vaccine is encouraging.
The arrival of these 2 million doses is the way forward. The 500,000 that arrived last week has been consumed so fast. I was in Marsh West over the weekend. The uptake is massive, and we hope Zimbabweans continue to do that.
Nube says more is in the pipeline.
Next week, on Thursday, we'll be back here. Hope to see you again. We're receiving another 1.5 million doses next Thursday. As of today, we have taken another decision that end of July, we're going to buy and receive another 2 million doses. So we're determined to go on to this blitz program. We're determined to reach that herd immunity target of 60% of our population being vaccinated as speedily as possible.
He adds that the vaccination drive is helping the country in many ways.
The vaccination program is not just about saving lives. It is also about saving the economy. Because when your people have been vaccinated, when employees have been vaccinated, when citizens have been vaccinated, it's easier for government to open up all aspects of the economy. So it is also about economic recovery.
In the past 2 weeks, the lockdown has been tightened twice and could soon include tougher restrictions, which has helped inspire the new high uptake of the vaccine. For VOA, this is Kudzesh Nawashi.
For the latest news and coverage on the coronavirus pandemic, visit voanews.com. Check us out at facebook.com/voahealthchat and let's keep the conversation going. I'm your host, Lenore Mudo in Washington, with producer Dan Brown. Until next time, take care, stay safe, and wash your hands more frequently, and strive to make every day a healthy day.